Geek Radio Daily for Finally Frackin' Friday.
Thank the maker.
Right?
Good chance to come play some Jackbox with us tonight. Have me a good time. I'll let me know.
And of course, Mark's karaoke is tomorrow, but Lord, we've got like 80,000 people. Oh, no, that's too many. I don't even know. But I'm doing some cool. Hey, I'm going to do a Sublime song. No, not that one. No, not that one either, which means 85% of you don't know what goddamn song it is because you only know two songs by Sublime. Oh, I said it. Welcome, by the way, to the 20th of May. We're the fine folks from geekradiodaily.com. Folks, bringing it to you today, the man that's ready to get out there and have some crazy fun this weekend, even if people try to bring him down. That's podcasting Dred Sickford.
Stop being such a wussy, yo.
He wants to have fun, britches high. I'm the guy that gets out there and does what he wants. I'm the one from Billy Flynn.
It's cool. I mean, how many people get to say that in their lifetime?
Not even sure. What happened this day, sir?
In 1506, explorer Christopher Columbus dies in poverty in Spain.
1747, an experiment to remedy scurvy among sailors during long sea voyages is conducted by British ship surgeon James Lind of the HMS Salisbury. He regulates the diets of the sailors and specifically includes lemons and oranges.
1830, D. Hyde of Reading, Pennsylvania, patents the fountain pen. However, the first truly practical fountain pen won't be invented until 1884 by Lewis Waterman.
1856, David Edward Hughes of Louisville, Kentucky, has issued a patent for the first telegraph ticker that successfully prints type. The following year, he will sell the rights to his invention for $100,000, which was a lot of money back then.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nothing to sneeze at now.
1891, the first public demonstration of a prototype kinetoscope is given at Edison's laboratory for approximately 150 members of the National Federation of Women's Clubs. A three-second film, directed, produced by, and starring William Dixon, is used for the demonstration. The film depicts William Dixon waving and greeting.
1895, the first company specifically incorporated to produce films, the Lambda Company, shows a four-minute boxing film to the first paying audience using its wide film, a Deloscope projector, which was invented by Eugene Loust, just trying to cash in on the Edison name.
1901, Claude Grivolis, one of the principal shareholders of PATH, a Paris, France movie company, invents the first projector that produces three-dimensional pictures.
1918, the U.S. Navy commissions the USS New Mexico, the first electrically propelled warship in history. They had to get rid of the ones with the fire and stove that you put the coal into. That was just weird for a ship.
Well, the water kept putting out the fire.
Right.
1921, Marie Curie is presented with a gram of radium worth $100,000 at the White House in Washington, D.C. Hopefully they put it in something.
1926, Thomas Edison famously claims that Americans prefer silent movies over talkies. And if you're like me, you just pictured Mel Brooks saying something incredibly naughty in silent movie.
1927, at 7:40, Charles Lindbergh takes off from Roosevelt Field in Long Island, New York, aboard the Spirit of St. Louis monoplane on his historic first solo flight across the Atlantic Ocean. He will arrive in France 33.5 hours later, really needing to pee.
Or did he get there before then because the dateline? I don't know how that works. 1930, for the first time in history, an airplane is launched from a U.S. air dirigible. The Vault two-seat observation plane is catapulted from the airship Los Angeles before landing on the carrier Saratoga.
1932, Amelia Earhart takes off for Ireland from Harbor Grace, Newfoundland, to become the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. She will later land her plane in Ireland after a 13-hour, 35-minute flight from Canada rather than in her intended destination, France. See, guys aren't the only ones who don't want to pull over and ask directions.
1939, the first scheduled transatlantic airmail service is inaugurated. A four-engine Pan-American airplane, the Yankee Clipper, flies from Port Washington, New York, via Horta to Lisbon, Portugal.
1940, the first prisoners arrive in the newly created Auschwitz concentration camp.
Bastard, same day, same year, inventor Igor Sikorsky demonstrates his helicopter invention to the public.
So keep that in mind, folks. On the same day, the same year, we had people doing really horrible things and then showing off an invention that will end up going on to help people that are in accidents and provide life-saving services. Come on, humanity. 1949, in the United States, the Armed Forces Security Agency, or AFSFA, the predecessor to the National Security Agency, or NSA, is established. The purpose of the AFSA is to direct the communications and electronic intelligence activities of the U.S. military intelligence units.
1956, the first hydrogen fusion bomb, H-bomb, to be dropped from an airplane explodes over Namu Atoll at the northwest edge of the Bikini Atoll. The fireball that results is 4 miles in diameter, designated as Cherokee, a part of Operation Red Wing, a series of 17 nuclear tests conducted from May to July of 56 at the Bikini and Tuaca Atolls. Really? Doing a damage number on their touristing.
But also giving us SpongeBob SquarePants.
Hey.
1964, the first U.S. atomic-powered lighthouse was put into operation in Chesapeake Bay at the Baltimore Harbor in Maryland. Designed to supply a continuous flow of electricity for 10 years without refueling, the 60-watt nuclear generator generated heat from strontium-90 in the form of strontium titanate, a safe radioisotope.
1967, the Soviets demonstrate the world's largest atom smasher, which is nearly completed.
1893, the discovery of the virus that causes AIDS, the human immunodeficiency virus HIV, is first published in the journal Science by co-discoverers Luc Montagnier and Robert Gallo individually.
Also of note that day, Columbia Pictures releases Space Hunter, Adventures in the Forbidden Zone, starring Peter Strauss, Molly Ringwald, and Ernie Hudson.
1988, Metro Goodwin Mayer releases the fantasy film Willow, directed by Ron Howard and starring Val Kilmer, Joanne Whalley, and Warwick Davis.
All because Lucas couldn't get the rights to Lord of the Rings. 1990, the Hubble Space Telescope transmits the first photograph taken from space, an image of a double star 1,260 light years away, though it isn't the first telescope to be placed into orbit, it's possibly the most versatile.
2004, the first picture of Titan with better resolution than any Earth-based observation is released. It was taken May 5th from a distance of 29.3 million kilometers, or 18.2 million miles.
Same day, same year, UPN announces that Star Trek Enterprise has been renewed for a fourth season, but will be moved from Wednesday to Friday nights, the death row, once it started getting good.
They used to have a lot of faith in that show, but then it's been a long time. 2006, the Cassini-Huygens robot spacecraft flies past within 1,880 kilometers of Titan, the largest moon of the planet Saturn.
2179, a xenomorph attacks people in a prison, and Ellen Ripley dies saving people. We won't talk about her coming back. Birthdays?
Angela Gödels is 45, from Phenom, Spanglish, Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Matt Sugery is 45, that's Logan on Gilmore Girls, Good Wife, and I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell.
Timothy Oliphant, God, he's such a good actor, 55, from Scream 2, Live Free or Die Hard, Deadwood, Justified, The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, and the upcoming Raylan Givens Adventures, or whatever the hell it's called.
Owen Teal is 62, that's Evan on Countryside, Torchwood episode, Sir Alistair Thorne on Game of Thrones.
Tony Goldwyn is 63, Carl in Ghost, Colonel Bagley in Last Samurai, and voice of Tarzan.
Bronson Pinchot is 64. Surge in Beverly Hills Cop, Second Sight, Cousin Balky on Perfect Strangers. And the TV movie Jury Duty, but we won't talk about that.
No. Serge. Dave Thomas is 75 from SCTV, Strange Brew, Boris and Natasha, Grace Under Fire, and Rat Race.
Anthony Zerbe is 87 from Kiss Meet the Phantom of the Park. He was the Phantom License to Kill and, of course, Matrix Reloaded / Revolutions.
Want to Stay No Longer With Us in 1883, Johnny Arthur from The Monster and Darla's Dad in the R-Gang shorts.
1908, James Stewart from It's a Wonderful Life, Vertigo, The Man Who Knew Too Much, and Rear Window.
1911, Gardner Fox, creator of Sandman, Hawkman, Justice Society of America, and wrote over 4,000 comic book stories.
Wow. 1923, Edith Fellows from the 1931 Huckleberry Finn and The Hills Have Eyes Too.
1927, David Hedison, Captain Crane on Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, and Felix Leitner in the Dalton Bond flicks.
Oh, the one where he dies. Oops, spoilers.
What? CBS, we've got a new Come Dance With Me, Magnum Pie, and Blue Bloods.
ABC's got a new Shark Tank in 2020.
NBC, Conclusion, Part 1 on A New The Blacklist. Dateline, Norwegian Death Metal Holiday Hymns.
That's, I can't wait for that. Fox is WWE Friday Night Smackdown.
That's the best one you've done. Brother. The CW, The Unseen, begins an intense fight to the Charmed Ones as Mel, Maggie, Kayla attempt to navigate their complicated love lives Roxy asks Harry to help her, and his mission ends up resulting in an unexpected discovery on a new Charmed and a new Dynasty.
FX, the New York Times presents Elon Musk's Crash Course. Okay.
Are we over him yet? Jesus. He's one of those guys that is like, oh, seems good at first, and then you do 5 seconds of digging, and then he's just gone off the...
Yep.
About as much digging as his company did, his family's company did in the Emerald Mine.
Oh, I see what you did there.
FXX, Simpsons Marathon, Itchy and Scratchy, the movie, and Marge gets a job.
FXM has Dark Phoenix.
Spiffy has a Quantum Leap Marathon.
TBS is showing Rampage, the movie that no one ever thought would exist, because who would make a movie out of that video game?
It was fun, though. TNT has the NBA playoffs.
The Science Channel, it's a How They Do It marathon. Wow, wow, wow.
VH1 has RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars.
How They Do It. But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. A woman's life takes a sinister turn when her psychotic new friend hatches a devious scheme to steal her infant daughter. Alicia Lee Willis, huh? And Connor Floyd star in Stolen in Her Sleep.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad is trapped at the hospital by FBI agents and must look for a way out. And Abby's got to try to come up with a plan to help get him out of there so they can get away. They have to prove Abby's innocence or they will get caught. Or at least spend a lot of time under balmy dogging, parching stalking, or summary shadowing. Hashtag Chad forever.
Okay, let's read a couple of letters here.
Hey, GRD. Tommy, still from the past, but I found a strange blue box that is helping me out. Anyways, during August 2021, Chabby were on Golden Boy, which I was curious about. After a quick Google, I found an anime of the same name that could be one PRS rented 13 or 14 times. Not quite sure from the description, to be honest, but then I found the correct show afterwards. Just thought it was funny and wanted to share. Slowly catching up, keeping doing what you all do. We will keeping. We certainly will. Keeping. Hey geeks, wow, I'm actually caught up. I just heard the episode of the day that you released it. I love the bits about the new Doctor Strange movie. From what I've heard, I need to watch a bunch of other Marvel shows before I can fully appreciate the multiverse of madness. Is WandaVision going to make me sad? No, maybe.
Not in a bad way.
Thanks for continuing to warn consumers about shady deals, this time involving strangely valuable video game cartridges. Yes, whatever it's worth is what someone else is willing to pay for it. Of course, it could have the personal sentimental value that's greater. Stay safe. That is from Bill.
Well, well done, Bill. Congrats on catching up.
And, of course, for bringing sentimental value into it, because, of course, if I charge what the sentimental value is worth, you couldn't afford my ColecoVision version of Mousetrap. If you would like to try to pay a supplies tag on that, by all means, send a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. I know I didn't say that right, and you can tell me all about it with a text message or a voicemail, like Tommy did. Tommy sent a text message. What? Because he's from the past. Makes sense. Use the numbers.
510-GRD. Crow.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune into Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Hello, I'm Robert Picardo, and for reasons I can't fathom, you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
I'm sure he remembers recording that. Just like he remembers the first time I interviewed him. Gosh, our memories.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Sure. And here they are. What's there?
Well, in nationwide release, it has been decades since their successful television series was canceled. And Chip has succumbed to a life of suburban domesticity as an insurance salesman. Dale, meanwhile, has had CGI surgery and works the nostalgia convention circuit, desperate to relive his glory days. When a former castmate mysteriously disappears, Chip and Dale must repair their broken friendship and take on their Rescue Rangers detective personas once again to save their friend's life. John Mulaney, Andy Samberg, and Seth Rogen star in Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. It actually looks kind of fun.
Following the lives of the Crawley family and their servants in the family's Edwardian country home, you've got Hugh Bonneville, Maggie Smith, Hugh Dancy, but not Dan Stevens in Downton Abbey, a new era.
Chip and Dale, Downton Abbey, it seems what once was is becoming new again. Ooh, much like the film that Svengoolie has this Saturday. Dr. Fibes is back to his old shenanigans, but this time he is seeking the Scrolls of Life to resurrect his deceased wife. See, what's old become new. He's such a wonderful and thoughtful husband. See, Valley Kemp, Peter Cushing, and Vincent Price in the movie that will make your blood crawl and flesh curdle in 1972's Dr. Fibes Rises Again. Only on MeTV.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, German director Uwe Boll, Postal, Blood Rain, Alone in the Dark, will return to international filmmaking with Ness. Sadly, not about the Loch Ness Monster, but a $25 million movie about a famed untouchable crime fighter named Elliot Ness who took down Al Capone.
Who is allowing Uwe Boll to touch Ness?
In Boll's film, the story takes place years later as Ness tries to catch a serial killer known as the Butcher of Kingsbury Run, who is responsible for a number of grisly murders in the Cleveland shantytown.
More importantly, who gave him 25 mil and why are they okay with just throwing money away?
Whitney Scott Bain wrote the screenplay basing the story on a true life case. Boll plans to direct and produce, casting now underway, with shooting to begin next year. He's also working on a documentary series on the notorious Banditos motorcycle game, which is at the center of a major criminal court case in Germany. Actually, Boll working on movies about criminal cases makes sense, based on the level of crimes against cinema he's committed. Burn!
You know, he has more money than we do, but we're actually proud of the things we've done.
There's that.
Apple is facing a lawsuit after AirPods allegedly rupture a child's eardrums when an Amber Alert is sounded. The child, identified as BG in the filing, was watching a movie on Netflix on his iPhone in 2020 while wearing AirPods Pro. The AirPods Pro were allegedly set at a low volume, but an Amber Alert sounded without warning and a high-pitched noise damaged BG's eardrums.
Damn, how loud are those alerts?
The lawsuit claims that the Amber Alert tore apart BG's eardrum, damaged his cochlea, and caused injuries to his hearing. He has since suffered from bouts of dizziness, vertigo, tinnitus, and nausea, and there is permanent hearing loss in his right ear, requiring to wear a hearing aid.
Hearing aids? By Dre?
Apple is accused of producing defective AirPods that do not automatically reduce the volume of alerts or equalize notifications and alert volumes. The lawsuit faults Apple for failing to include warnings about the potential issue and claims that Apple was aware of the alleged design defects.
They don't care about the kids that make the devices. Why would they care about the kids that use the devices?
The lawsuit is seeking damages for BG and his parents, who are suffering from serious emotional stress caused by the AirPods incident. It asks for punitive damages in amounts that would punish defendants for their conduct and which would deter other technology companies from engaging in such misconduct in the future.
Which is the equivalent price of 3 new iPhones and a 2017 MacBook Pro.
There have been other social media complaints about the noise of Amber Alerts when wearing AirPods. Amber Alerts are designed to catch the attention of iPhone owners, causing devices to play a loud sound and vibrate. Reports on the internet suggest that the Amber Alert sound is indeed very loud when played through AirPods, even when those AirPods are set at a reasonable volume. Amber Alerts can be turned off on the Settings app. There are also options for turning off emergency alerts and public safety alerts, though it is worth noting that alerts cannot be disabled in all countries. Plus, these alerts are meant to inform and or warn in case of situations. Now, if only they had an alert that would warn you before blowing your eardrums out!
That's so crazy, man. When the newly formed Warner Brothers Discovery having undergone a regime change, new CEO David Zaslav has reportedly rethought the company's film release strategy. And a new report indicates that he wants Warner Brothers Pictures to increase the theatrical release slate to 20 to 25 films a year, up from the 17 they did last year.
Well, many of us didn't want to risk our lives to see a Warner Brothers picture last year.
True. As a result of this, former exec Jason Kilar's plans for numerous direct-to-streaming HBO Max original films to build up that service are being scratched.
Part of the reason, according to the report, is that theatrical movies tend to perform better on HBO Max than movies made exclusively for the streaming site.
A bigger budget and more care into the production will do that for you.
The biggest victim is going to be the live-action Wonder Twins movie starring KJ Alpa and Isabel May, which is being canceled. Zaloff reportedly determined the film's hefty $75 million-plus budget was too big and returns on too limited for a made-for-streaming movie.
Whoa. $75 million for a streamer? Like, don't cancel it, just scale it back a bit, damn.
As the film only announced its first casting the other week, it's still early enough to scrap it without much issue. Other things like Blue Beetle have already made the shift to theatrical release. They already finished filming Batgirl film, may follow suit, but that's not official as of yet, and for now, still intends to be set for an HBO Max launch.
Oh, I won't believe those are real until I'm watching the end credits.
Warner Brothers Discovery also reportedly wants to make more movies like Joker and is prioritizing a new Superman film. Why? We already know how each of those stories are going to end up. Why not branch off into other characters and show why people should care about them? People care about Shazam now, and they hadn't even heard of him. Just make the damn Wonder Twins movie, and don't make it gritty. We need happy and silly. Or for God's sakes, just redo the Green Lantern movie, please!
Right. Pete Davidson, Franz Rogowski, Naomi Scott, and Sean Harris are set to star in a celebrated Australian filmmaker David Micod's next feature called at A24 and Plan B.
Is it about a magic man?
The story follows two hapless pothead beach bar operators, Davidson and Rogowski, who run into trouble when they stumble across stolen loot that they really should have just left alone.
Really? I mean, this feels more like a Pete Davidson documentary.
The plot details are slim right now, but this film could harken back to the buddy comedies of the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Or it'll just be a crappy SNL sketch stretched way, way too far.
After appearing in Sam Raimi's Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, Bruce Campbell reveals his criteria for making cameos in Marvel films. Raimi and Campbell, frequent collaborators with the actor appearing in nearly all of the director's movies, Raimi and Campbell worked together for the role of his career in 81's The Evil Dead, spawning an entire horror franchise and the iconic character of Ash Williams. Since then, Campbell has appeared in Raimi's other films like the three Spider-Man movies, Dark Man, and of course, Oz the Great and Powerful.
Whoa, we don't talk about Oz the Great and Powerful.
No. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness marks a return to the superhero genre for Raimi. His differing style of direction has been praised for shifting from the styles of similar projects. The movie features several Raimi signatures, including a cameo by Campbell, the actor appearing briefly in the main film is a food vendor named Pizza Papa, who Doctor Strange makes hit himself with a spell. Campbell then shows up again in the Doctor Strange 2 post-credit scene, where the spell finally comes to an end, much to his relief.
Well, and don't forget the Delta 88 was in it, too.
So cool. In a tell-all interview about his role, Campbell spoke about his Doctor Strange 2 cameo, specifically the requirements for cameos in Raimi's movies. You know, the only criteria I ever need for the character has to be pivotal. In the first Spider-Man, I named Spider-Man. In the second one, I'm the only character to defeat Spider-Man by not letting him into the theater. And in Spider-Man 3, he comes to the Michel D for help with his proposal to Mary Jane. How many superheroes come to mortals for help? Like, zero! So I set a precedent. And if you do put me in there, I'll change the movie forever. Sam is aware that I've made his movies iconic.
He jokes, but they are a dynamic duo.
The other criteria, honestly, is the only reason to be in these movies, and that is to harass the star. If you look at the Spider-Man films, all I'm there to do is to F with the lead guy. That's it. I belittle him, make fun of him, confront him, harass him. Of course, he's always victorious, but you have to create obstacles for your hero to make the journey harder. That's my job. And here, we can't really deny that I took up about an extra 45 seconds of Strange's time, and maybe I saved his life as a result of that. Those 45 seconds, maybe I saved someone else's life. Maybe I foiled a plot.
And they were a glorious 45 seconds.
Though Campbell is, you know, likely joking a little about his character's importance, it's clear he will not accept a role in one of Raimi's films just for the sake of it. He's correct that his characters ultimately play a pretty big role in the Spider-Man films. This is shown even in his Doctor Strange 2 cameo. Aside from providing some comic relief to the story, it's also a treat for, you know, Evil Dead fans, and, you know, because Strange's spell is a callback to the possessed hand fight in Evil Dead 2.
I guess this means there's a universe where Pizza Papa is still punching himself, isn't there?
Probably. Furthermore, with Raimi's work on Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness so heavily praised, it stands to reason he could be back to direct a Marvel movie in the future, which could pave the way for another Bruce Campbell cameo in an MCU movie. We've seen the success that James Gunn has had for Marvel when they gave him a franchise in the MCU. Give Raimi Doctor Strange, because the only other person that could compare is Billy the Bull. Oh. And then we get Ron Perlman, who really is, if we're honest, a multiverse version of Bruce Campbell. Prove me wrong.
Right?
Bring it. Bring it, damn it. Share these lessons in the Creative Commons attributes, non-commerce, non-derivative works, 963 Pro. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Now I'm just picturing Jack of all trades, but with Ron Perlman. Thief.
I was picturing Name of the Rose with Bruce Campbell.
Either way, you really can't go wrong. If you've got other ones, other flippity floppities like that, please share them with us. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or of course, Facebook, Twitter, all those fun things. You can do the messages the old school way. You need the numbers, though.
510-GRD.
A couple of jackbox.
What do you think? It stinks.
Man. Game over, man. Game over.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but the same.
Care for some company?
Counselor Hum.
I don't want to intrude if you prefer to be alone.
No, I can probably use some company.
Good. So could I.
It's nice tonight. Very calm.
Feels like everyone is sleeping very peacefully.
Not everyone.
I hate sleeping. I never sleep more than a few hours. I figure I slept the first 11 years of my life. Now I'm making up for it. What about you?
I just haven't been able to sleep much.
It's a good sign.
Of what?
That you are, in fact, still human. Have you ever been to the engineering level?
I love to walk there at night.
It's quite amazing. Would you like to see it?
Sure.
Almost no one comes down here, unless, of course, there's a problem. That's how it is with people. Nobody cares how it works as long as it works. I like it down here. I like to be reminded this city survives because of these machines. These machines are keeping us alive while other machines are coming to kill us. Interesting, isn't it?